Before we begin, can we please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? Susan.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we begin, I'd just like to ask for a moment of silence for all the people who have lost their lives in California due to their fires. Thank you. High school government. Someone's coming. Do we have a middle school today?
I don't think so. Thank you. Hi, everyone. I hope you're all doing well. Everything over at the high school has been going very well, and mostly everyone has been wearing their ID cards to school, and the transition has been going pretty smoothly for the most part. Yeah, mostly everyone. We have some people who were stragglers on it, but it's okay. The sad blood drive ran smoothly and many students participated. On November 9th, we had our Financial Literacy Day where students at the high school went to the middle schools and worked with the middle schoolers to develop a better understanding on finance. My brother attends POBMS and enjoyed this day a lot, and it was definitely a great way to foster a positive and engaging learning environment for the young kids. The fall play took place this past weekend, and I went on Friday, and it was phenomenal. The acting was incredible, and it was amazing to see my peers play these roles, especially after reading the play. Tomorrow, we will have our annual Fall Sports Award Ceremony at Stratford Road due to the LGI construction that is underway. On November 27th, there will be an engineering awareness event at the high school at 6:30 p.m. for anyone who is interested. Since the last time I spoke, winter sports have begun, and they have all been running smoothly. Thank you. Have a nice night. Enjoy your Thanksgiving break.
Same, Jess. Thank you very, very much. No one from the middle schools here? Okay. Any board announcements? Susan.
So I was lucky enough to attend the Financial Literacy Day, and I was able to visit Matlin. I just love the way that the students interact with the younger students interact with the older students. And it was also quite interesting to hear some of the high school students say they are so happy that they're finally getting the chance to be the leaders in the classroom now. So it was wonderful. Legislator Drucker was there also, and it was a very well-received, it is a very well-received program, and I hope we can get to continue all this.
And I was thrilled to have been able to attend JJP's day where they invited the veterans, and it was absolutely wonderful. They spoke with the children, giving them insight into actually what one kid really was amazing and said, why do we have wars and what are wars? And the responses were really very interesting, but the kids loved it, and as usual. So I want to once again thank the veterans for being so involved and thank us for being involved with the veterans.
Thank you, Debbie. I wanted to piggyback on what the high school rep spoke about the play The Crucible. I have to say, I was so exhausted going to the show that I actually thought for a few minutes, maybe I won't go. I was falling on my face. It was so phenomenal that it felt like 10 minutes and the show was over. I just, the kids' performances blew me away in a play that's a very difficult play, and their passion and their mastery of the language. It was phenomenal. So I'd like to congratulate all of the students involved, Kim Muller, the director, and all of the other people who played a part in it. It was really a phenomenal show.
I had the opportunity to visit POB Middle School's Stream Day today. The Science, Technology, Research, Engineering, Art, and Math Day. The focus was on 10 of the 17 UN Sustainable Development Goals: no poverty, no hunger, good health, quality education, and the list goes on. There were wacky science presentations, assemblies, a laser show, team building exercises. Seemed like all the kids were enjoying it. It was great to see the high school students participate, and administrators were there. It was I think it fits everything that we talk about when we talk about a conscious school district, and we talk about leaders and stakeholders, the PTA supporting the Wacky Science Assembly, and, you know, everybody, all of our learning partners participating in something. And I think the kids really enjoyed the day, and I enjoyed, you know, seeing it and walking around, and that was it. I thought it was great. So, and thank you to, I think Dorothy took the lead in putting it together. I know a lot of people were involved, but I know that was really kind of like her project. That was her big thing, and it, I think it came off great. So,
comments, anything? Okay, Dr. Lewis?
Just to piggyback on the stream day, we also had Ray Tesser and his research students. Joyce, I want to thank you. Most impressive young people coming through and really provoking thought and leading the conversation. They were equally contributors for the stream day. I attended the evening portion of it. I've learned over time, you know, to look at different the different times in the day. And at that time, the students were actually exhibiting the constructions that they had made and what solutions they had come up with new uniforms, a way to create electricity to light a place that did not have it, using different kinds of power, a movable car, all sorts of questions that they were being asked to create and propose to solve the world's problems. So it's a day, and I spoke with the kids, and they said we enjoy the day because it's different, and it forces us to think. And I also interviewed the high school students who really appreciated being able to use the day to contribute to their younger colleagues. So it's a good event. I also want to compliment the high school performance on last year. I charged them with going in the direction of classics for the drama in the fall. It is I think our theater program is a very strong program, and that children exit us thinking of careers in this field, and because of that, I really wanted to have the surety that these kids were practicing in areas that they would stretch themselves. This was definitely a play that they had to stretch themselves. The language was different. And also, the children are using this text in 11th grade. So for students to attend and to see the text on stage, and for some of the actors, and were just phenomenal. I mean, I'm used to seeing the same children, young people in musicals, and of course they have fantastic voices, and it's, and by the way, Mamma Mia, you'll see a lot of the same faces in Mamma Mia, but when I think about what these children were going through, they were having their quarterly exam, the end of the quarter, they were studying for all these subjects, and here's a very difficult text that they were able to put together. So bravo. I'm really, it's one of those things that you charge them with, hoping that they'll rise to the occasion, and clearly, clearly showing strength in the theater program. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else? We have several reports and discussions on them. The first one will be our new course proposals. You want to do the retirements first? Sure. We have retirements. Vince?
Yes, hi. So tonight we have retirement of one of our custodians, Regina Vesiano. And speaking on her behalf, we'll have Mr. Andy Ward.
Hi, everyone. Good evening. It's my pleasure to introduce Regina. She has been with the Plainview Old Bethpage School District. There you go. Since 1988, in her duties here, she serves as custodian. She's done an excellent job over her period of time here. She's always represented herself well, and Her colleagues love her. And at this point, she has about a week left of work. She retires next Friday.
Thursday.
She's moved into a new home with her family, and she's getting ready for the next phase of her life. And everybody here will miss her. She has many colleagues. The teachers love her. And she will be greatly missed by us.
On behalf of the school district, we want to give you this plaque. And it's for all your outstanding work and everything you've done throughout the years.
Thanks.
And you will be sorely missed.
Yeah, thank
you. Congratulations on your retirement.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. Congratulations, Regina, and thank you for being there with a smiling face every morning.
Thanks, Regina.
John, would you like to say a few words?
Okay, thanks.
Regina, on behalf of the
team. You want talking to the microphone?
I'm sorry.
Please, thank you.
Regina, on behalf of the Teamsters. Thank you. We'd like to give you this plaque for your service.
Oh, thanks.
Ben couldn't be here tonight.
That's all right.
So this is for you and your 30-plus years here.
Wow.
Oh, that beautiful.
Great. Yeah, very nice. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
Okay. New course.
Last Thursday, we had a snowstorm.
Yes.
Sort of. Like, who knew? But I love when a rainbow comes after a storm. Something. And there was a rainbow over JJP right after that storm. And I just think it's symbolic of the wonderful things that happen here at POB. So I posted on Twitter, I said, everything's coming up rainbows at POB schools.
Did anybody find a pot of gold?
I'm looking for my pot of gold. But, yes.
Not your part. It's my part.
No.
At the
end of the rainbow was a performing arts center.
Oh, yes. Did everybody hear that?
Let's put that on the record. At the end of the rainbow is a performing arts center.
Jody Keller Memorial Opera.
We have new course offering proposals.
Good evening, everybody. I just want to take this opportunity, being my first time introducing these courses, to tell you how absolutely blown away I was by the work of our directors and chair people and what they were able to accomplish to get this done while doing their regular duties. But when I first got here and I had the pleasure of looking over the curriculum projects that were written over the summer, I couldn't believe the attention to the students and the care and the thought and to the teachers of what they would need in order to teach new courses or revised courses. And they didn't disappoint on this. You know, they really took their time going through their course catalogs as it relates to their departments, saying, what else do our students need to really make for a robust course offering that makes sense and leads them into the next sequence in the course or into their college and career? So I want to thank you all for coming tonight, because really I'm just reporting on their work. So there are a few typos. I will let you know, just two, and that's my fault. So I'm sorry, folks, I missed some of this. So the first is from the art department. Dr. Wiley has given us two courses. First, for Photo 2. And really, it's a revision of two courses that occur right now where they separated the digital and the darkroom techniques. He sees that in Photo 1, since they've combined those two, that it makes sense to combine them in Photo 2. Because really, and Dr. Wiley, jump in, we really don't separate those two in college and career. It's important for all artists to understand how to work both the digital applications and the darkroom techniques. So that is a new course that he's proposing that combines really two. I'm going too far. Okay. You know what it is? I'm not advancing.
Art history.
So, finally, so no need to explain this further, but this offers another AP course for our artists, and it makes sense to bring this course because some are interested in the performing type artists and the project-based arts, but this is really the study of art that adds depth to our artists, and also because we have the AP Capstone Diploma Program, those students need to have four other APs, so it gives them another opportunity and another choice among the AP offerings to consider for their full program of the two AP Capstone and the four additional AP courses.
Are there any questions about the art?
Oh,
Dr. Wiley.
Yes, and Dr. Wiley's here, yes.
I just want to say thank you. I think you heard that we were very happy, but we've been asking this for now, for a while. So thank you very much for listening to our comments.
Yeah. Makes it come full cycle. Thank you.
It really does, yeah. And seeing the AP results, we just know they'll be successful in it, so there's really no doubt. Okay. Business. I actually went to this department meeting, and I cannot get over the enthusiasm, and that doesn't mean there isn't that in other departments. It's just I was at this department meeting where they were discussing their ideas for course proposals. And just to see teachers who have been teaching so long, like, let's do this. We can do that. We can do that better. I feel bad for you, Eric, because you're like, okay, there's only so many periods in the day. And, you know, Lori Lynn has to actually, you know, counsel all those kids into how many business courses they can fit while, you know, meeting the New York State standards for graduation and requirements. So this was another course that they thought was necessary for some of our students who aren't mainstreamed in all areas, and they could...
Sounds like fun.
Fun day Sunday. Invite me to that ice cream party. Yes, you... Go ahead. Do you want to go back to business? I'm sorry. Am I moving too quickly?
So I have a question about... Everything seems very... Google-based mm-hmm. centric. Something that I learned, because I just recently went back full-time into the workforce myself. And my kids are both in one graduated college, one's in college. Microsoft still seems to be very, very strong. The skills in Microsoft, you need them. I mean, mm-hmm. Google Sheets, as wonderful as it is as a sharing tool,
yeah.
You really need to learn on Excel. Same thing with Word doc and PowerPoint. It mimics it very closely, but there are very strong nuances between the two, and I'm just concerned we're not giving that to students. And then it's not necessarily just business department.
Right.
It could be for every subject that we have that we are finding that, you know, we're too centric. Google's what I'm trying to say, because not everyone has a Google account.
Sure, and I understand that, because you're absolutely right. In the business world, they haven't gone all Google for a lot of issues, for a lot of reasons, too. So it's something that can get taken care of in the curriculum writing for the courses, just to let you know. And it's good time for us to pause and think, because we're in a Google environment, are we becoming too centric? And maybe we need to always consider that we do have the Office applications. And Eric.
This course kind of spurred from our computer concepts course that we do offer, that the students do have the opportunity to be MOS certified and become a Microsoft Office specialist in Word, PowerPoint, and Excel. And we did see that a lot of the special class students and our life skills students were taking those courses, having some difficulty navigating Excel and the formulas and everything else that in Excel, but they were finding success with Word and PowerPoint and were working towards their certification. So we kind of work towards that, where the word processing skills would be Word, introducing Word, PowerPoint, as well as not so much Excel focused, but definitely in there.
Well, it's not just Excel, but like you said, the MOS suite, yeah, and everything. And as Mary was saying, which I really appreciate, is that it could be part of the curriculum, because it's not just the business world. It's, right, you know, every subject has this. I'm just very concerned, because knowing what I just went through personally, re-entering the job market as a full-time person, and learning this, and also learning that, you know, there is no more software. Everything is so cloud-based. And it's amazing how much. Yeah. So thank you very much.
And we will definitely note that during the curriculum writing of it.
Okay. It's good to hear that you do have a pathway for certification for the Microsoft credentials. And I'm going that way. So English department wins the prize for the most this year. And really, Jeff, do you want to come up here? This one I'm really excited about just because I just think if you're looking at focusing literature study and medium, you are looking at certain generations. So in this course, students would be allowed to examine a generation through the lens of literature and media. So just think of the 60s.
We decided to replace, we had a course, Alienation Literature, and over the last 3 years we had declining numbers, and finally this year the course isn't even running, and we did hear feedback from students and from parents from like high school PTA curriculum committee meetings that they thought the literature was a little bit on the drab side and to try and have something a little more optimistic, a little more positive. So from speaking with a number of teachers, this is something I spoke about with Tracy Gonzalez from years ago, and we decided that this would be the right time to launch it. And what we're going to do is in the spring have a poll for juniors to find out from six or so generations. We have the GI generation, the silent generation, baby boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Generation Z to find out which one they'd be most interested in. And chances are that's the curriculum we're going to write for the summer.
So responsive.
Fabulous. Oh. Yep. So we currently right now have one public speaking course, and that course is for students 9 to 12, and it currently has beginner students and advanced students, and we've done our best to differentiate. But now, since this is the third year of teaching it, the feedback from our teacher, Donna Scully, is that the students would really be better served by splitting it into two different courses. So we have public speaking for beginners, and we find that that way it's going to really have a culture that's a little more conducive for students that are a little shy and really need to gain that comfort. So what we're doing is pulling the debate element out, and if you see on the next slide, advanced speech and debate is going to have advanced speech techniques, but it's also going to bring in that debate element. So it gives kids an opportunity to do two different levels of the course, and we also think it might make some of the kids that were a little reluctant to take the course because of being intimidated by other speakers really like a safer environment to start off with.
And both courses will satisfy the public speaking requirement for graduation.
I think this is absolutely fantastic.
You don't disappoint.
The next two courses we're also very excited about. We currently have a course that we call Radio Production, and it ends up that from us, our district, doing work with CW Post, we've been teaming up with them, trying to do more and more partnering. They were able to take a look at the current courses that we're teaching, and we had a lot of material sent back and forth, and they recognized that one of the courses that we have is so similar to one of their college-level classes that they started the conversation with us about having that class updated a little bit through curriculum writing and now will be eligible to students for college-level credit. And LIUCW Post has been wonderful in terms of really being a free resource to us in terms of helping out with curriculum, being able to help out with sending their own experts in to speak to the people at our school. They've really been wonderful. And what we like about these two college-level classes, the second one's college also, is that students don't have to take it for college credit. They have the option of taking it. So this way we're really not shutting anyone out of it. We're just really giving the possibility of getting some college credit.
A question, because
doesn't want to take AP Lit, you have given rigor to the curriculum, which is amazing, thank you very much. But this only satisfies half of that year, right?
No, this is a straight elective. This is an elective that's open to students 9 to 12. This isn't one of the 12th grade options. No, the only course that really counts towards the literature selectives is the first course that I presented, the generational study. Next year, we're offering six different literature courses. If you take a look at the flow chart, you'll see.
So what about the writing selection?
The writing we still offer. If a student isn't taking the AP course, they can either take Facing History and Ourselves, which satisfies either the writing or the literature selective. Facing History and Ourselves is a class that's taught with social studies. The other side of it, the social studies class, satisfies the participation in government requirement.
Thank you.
So the six selectives that we're offering to seniors, we offer contemporary literature, facing history in ourselves, lit of the supernatural, reality readings, American immigrant experience, and now this generational study.
But okay, so if you are at an AP level, you wouldn't have a rigorous writing class. You'd only have a rigorous elective class.
Instead of taking English 12 AP? We have writing for college one is the more rigorous of the writing course, and then we have writing for college two, which is a course for more remedial students that we cap it usually at around 18, and it's a slightly modified curriculum. Surely. So we just went through the LIU radio production essentials, and the last class we're very excited about that we had a presentation. There's been a lot of talk from the summer and even before about trying to have a news literacy course. And while we see value in that really making its way into all different types of curriculum, especially through the humanities, we had a meeting a few weeks ago where a gentleman came and presented from Stony Brook. And what they're trying to do is really pilot out a program. Their eventual dream is to be able to share that program with New York City Board of Education. So right now they're looking for a few different districts to really pilot out that program. So at this point we're able to offer it as a selective that this is going to be replacing journalism for us. So it's still going to have some elements of it. But as I shared over here, I feel like we're living in a time right now where students are seeing so much news, either through traditional news or through social media, that everything is so, so skewed. It's coming through an individualized perspective, and students really need to understand. I mean, one of the things that came out of the meeting, we kind of had a smile about it, is saying that years ago we thought it was important to try and have students just register to vote. Now we understand that we want them to be informed voters that are registered. So having them have that understanding we think is something that's really going to help them in all different disciplines and really be a life skill for them. And the beautiful thing is, once again, the students will have the option to take it for college credit through Stony Brook.
I just think that this is so topical. And so very, very important. I think that I would love eventually to see this almost in the middle school and kids.
Well, that's another presentation there, Ms. Lieberman.
Yes, that's our follow-up. That's there currently. This program exists in high schools, and there are some schools within the Board of Ed, I believe in either Staten Island or Yonkers, that are piloting a program in the middle school, and we're actually sitting and meeting with middle school administration probably in the next week and a half or so to figure out how we can have this program make its way into the middle school.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Susan.
Did you see the
Washington Post article? Which article?
I just quoted to the board. It was about a gentleman in Maine who just does this, is make fake news. I'll forward it to you.
That would be great.
It was very timely and it was very interesting.
Thank you. I'd appreciate that. And it might make its way into the curriculum.
Yeah. But another important thing is we're building another great partnership with a local university that really is prestigious and very similar to LIU. This gentleman from the journal, the literacy school of literacy, actually the school of journalism he is out of, they just can't wait to share their resources with us, and they will come, and they really want it to be a robust program. So
yeah, they actually went so far as to say that on a weekly basis, in the beginning of each week, they push out to any of the schools that they're cooperating with a number of different resources. So if you really want to make the effort to make the information you're sharing with students timely and being able to rip articles right from the news, the resources are always there. So it seems like it's going to be a great partnership.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I just want to point out one thing I missed in the revisions. The bottom bullet talks about students who take the AP classes must take the corresponding AP exam. In the last board policy, we gave a choice of students and a grading revision where the students have the option not to take the AP exam, and then their transcript would be adjusted accordingly. So I'll take that out and send that out. Clean. Okay. Health. I don't think Joe is here. So health proposed an elective, which is fairly unusual because we do have a requirement for health at the high school level, but I just thought this opportunity was also very timely with the stresses that we talk about with our students and how social media really plays a big part in that. So Joe and his health teachers, Mr. Braco, thought that this elective would be a very good opportunity for students in grades 9 through 12 to take a look at some of the stresses and the implications that social media place on the students.
I think this is really important. I'm doing my own course on addiction to social media. This is another thing that I believe in sixth grade we have to start talking to kids, because the amounts of suicide, the new sites that are out there, the social cliques that are happening now where kids are really absolutely, if you belong to it, it's wonderful, but if they go against you, they can rip you to shreds over a weekend. And I think that we also should offer parents something, because everybody's looking at a phone. That's all people are doing. And I think that children learn from their parents, and that there should be just free time where they're just, everybody has to talk to each other. But I would really like to see something also, again, in the middle school, because this is something that can be suicidal or not also.
Sure. And just to let you know, in the health curriculum, even though it's not an entire course on it, they do have a unit of study related to this. But again, this just speaks to the health teachers really having their finger on the pulse again, of what the kids need while they're in high school.
This is today. This is the lives our kids are really living day in and day out. Yeah. And I think that they have their own separate lives that parents don't even know exist.
I know.
So, thank you.
Okay, so science was the second runner-up for really some careful look at what we offer our students and pathways to something other than the medical field. So you want to come up, Joyce? Thank you.
Good evening. This is the college engineering course with Hofstra University. They had pitched it about 3 years ago, and it was in an infancy development stage, and they just went through a major revision, brought in a new professor who is gearing the entire Engineering 10 curriculum on the robotics and the first robotics. And when we looked at the curriculum that we currently offer in our, you'll see there's a cross connection here with our technology, Principles of Engineering course, and this college engineering course, it's a nice match. So it will be co-taught. The physics teacher would be there for a point one and would teach the mat lab component, the physics component, and the technology teacher would be supporting that along with the robotics piece in conjunction with the professors at Hofstra University. So it's a really nice, I believe there are six schools that are currently doing it.
Island, yeah.
And there's about five more that want to jump on board. We're, once we get your approval, we are in the chute to go, which is really nice. So this is a great opportunity for our kids, and the connection to careers that come out of this and college placement in engineering programs is outstanding. So it's a really nice opportunity.
And what's
I don't have a question. I just have a comment. I think this is phenomenal, and I know that for many years, the people involved in robotics have been asking to have a tie into the actual curriculum.
Right.
So I think this is fabulous. Thank you.
Thank you. We're excited.
Yeah,
I'm glad of your perseverance that you kept this on the back burner.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It'll be exciting.
Really exciting. And also the professor at Hofstra spoke about the compelling need for us to develop our own homegrown engineers and the co-op opportunities.
And so she really came for a tour. She was just blown away. She met with the POBOTs. She was very impressed by our number, because her team in down south was a 6,000 number. We're in the 300. So it was really great. And they were very excited. So it's great. It's a good thing.
Great. Next one. Sorry.
Yep. Absolutely. So we're visiting both both needs here. We have a need for more electives in the sciences. So we currently offer a green technology course that runs every day. This past year, we didn't run it due to low enrollment. We have a need. Students are interested in it, but they may not necessarily be able to fit it into their program if they're taking a full Regents course. So this is an energy for the future. It's a point. It's a half-credit course. So it would be every other day for the year. So this would just meet the needs of adding more electives to our program.
Right. Okay. In another area of science besides forensics.
Yep. And it's definitely. And it's of interest with solar technologies, geothermal, all cutting-edge energy situations. Okay. The next one. We are finding there are many districts that are offering AP courses to younger students in the ninth grade in the sciences. They do it in a number of different ways. This is one of the ways that there are several schools that are offering. It's called a LEAPS program. It's a living environment and AP environmental science within the same year. So similar to what we do with our physics students, our AP Physics 1 students, It is a very challenging course for students that are able to handle this rigor. They would come in ninth grade. They would take the AP environmental curriculum, which would also be supporting the living environment curriculum. They would take their AP environmental exam in May, and then the balance of the year would meet the needs for the living environment regents in June. Very rigorous program. Then they would go on to, if this was to fly the following year, we would like to look at designing a course where you would take the AP chemistry and the regents chemistry the same year. That would be, we would call it an AP, what was it, AP selective or AP intense program. So we are getting more requests for,
that's it. We're getting
we have a number of kids going to the
kids.
Windsor School over the summer in order for them to super accelerate, hyper accelerate. This would meet the needs of those kids that are challenging themselves by going to the Windsor School and trying to get as many APs in during their time in our high school. It's not for everyone.
It's not
absolutely.
For everyone. And we will be.
We program APs very well. My children have taken part of it. But one of the things that comes out from you talking to children, I'm sure that teachers will tell you, particularly teachers of seniors in September, they don't understand what we as adults understand what the meaning of these words are on the paper. Time management, stress. I'm very concerned in ninth grader coming into a new school, a new requirement. And I understand that there is a very ladder way to this particular career that they after. Can we monitor this with the guidance department?
I wouldn't want to offer more than one section, and I really think that the children that would participate in this would really have to be interviewed, reviewed, and really hyper, super.
You're talking about three big standardized tests. You're talking about AP and environment, which is not a joke. And subject test and biology, and then the regents. And they're like within weeks of each other,
those tests. Yes. Well.
The living environment regents, if they're doing well in the AP environmental, that won't be, although it is a high-stakes test, it's not that difficult for those students.
There are some districts that our home district does it where they take, as ninth graders, they take AP biology and then they take the living environment in June. I do not agree with that.
Right.
That is a very, very different set of skills. You really do need the living environment as the foundation to be successful in the AP biology. There are different schools that are doing it different ways. Manhasset actually offers this to, I believe, to the ninth grade, I'm sorry, eighth graders. Then in ninth grade, if they don't do this, they have an opportunity to take an AP environmental with the earth science where there's not a lot of overlap with the curriculum. Manhasset office, Half Hollow Hills offers this. So there are you're seeing a number of schools that are putting these into the mix, again, to meet the needs of those children that are. Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not.
I'm assuming from everything you've just said and the prerequisite that this would not be something a student could self-select into?
This would not be a self-select opportunity. It would not be in the children's best interest for this to be a self-select opportunity.
And again, during the year, we will watch it closely. But there are a group of students that do go to the Windsor School. They're accelerating whether we offer it or not. And
absolutely.
At least we have some control of watching their emotional well-being during the process if we offer it here.
We have elementary parents at this point right now insisting that we're not offering enough for that.
Yep.
They haven't lived.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, it's starting early. Yeah. And again, this is something that I've been looking at it on the radar for a couple of years now and have seen a couple of models. Again, there are different ways that different school districts are doing that. When you look at the living environment, that's the other piece. When you look at the students that are taking AP Environmental Science here, it is not your traditional student that would be in that track. So we always look at offering a new course, where is it going to pull from? This is not pulling from that same population. So it's not going to have, it's not the same kids that you're seeing taking AP Environmental as a senior.
Okay.
And I believe I had one more.
Tech?
Right? So for our technology.
Oh, right. She's
tech. You have a couple tech more, Joyce.
I do.
I told you. You were the big winner in science, and now.
Second place. Oh, second place. I'm okay being second place.
You might be first place.
So we're very fortunate to have Steve Carbo as our TV media arts teacher, and he is just exploding the program. You've seen a lot of the productions. It's really wonderful. So with that, we have quite a few students that have an interest in developing portfolios for college submissions. His third year course in TV media, we actually just discussed it today in an after-school staff development, is where he's going to be developing their portfolios. But these are a couple of other courses that would certainly meet the needs of students that are interested in that pathway, one being the history of film through television. You know, similar to what Jeff was talking about, his course, you know, we were raised in that television age, and if we look at it over time, it's fascinating what has happened and what is going to be happening. And really what social media and the internet has done to television. So that's one of the courses. The other course, so that's a half-credit course. The other course is video journalism and that documentary.
Feels. Love this course.
So we have a lot of our students doing public PSAs. This would tie into it, the journalism and the writing component, and have them create video journalism pieces. And then the last one is really more of just a change in name. It's our it's our computer support class. And Dr. O'Meara came up with a nice new name called Chrome Depot.
I stole that from another district. I didn't really invent that term, but we'll see.
So this would be where our students have an opportunity. We're changing it also from every other day for the year to a half-year course, where the students would be setting up a little Chrome Depot shop where they could come in and people can go in and get support on their devices. Okay?
Teachers included?
Hmm? Yes. Everybody can come over. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mrs. Barry.
Joyce, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your hard work and your departments. Would you please thank them also, everybody, for the input?
Thank you.
So thoughtful. And I don't think... Dr. Chen, just on time.
Yeah, he's here.
Hello.
Hi, good evening. We are having our students who are in ninth grade right now who started the middle school sequence in Chinese continue on in their language track. And they're in the ninth grade class now, Chinese level 2, and they're moving on to Chinese level 3 for the next school year. They will be taking the Checkpoint B assessment as we do in all the languages, Spanish, Italian, and French as well, and American Sign Language. So these students will also be taking the Checkpoint B assessment at the end of the year. And they'll be continuing on in that language track. And our other courses that we're proposing this evening is Cantonese 1. This is a basic course, a level 1 class with Checkpoint A learning standards. So we'll be focusing again on reading, writing, speaking, and listening. And this course, I think one of the focuses is that it's going to have a culinary aspect to it.
That's a very good point, yes.
So...
Debbie?
He has a teacher that can teach.
I guess I want to ask for the Cantonese. I mean, obviously, the Chinese.
Yes, please.
But what made you look at this as opposed to other languages?
Yeah. That's a good question. In January we have a electives offering night where all the departments talk about the different elective courses that we offer at JFK High School. And one of the languages that parents have come up to ask about after the event is Cantonese, and because they know that we offer Mandarin in our Chinese track that begins in the middle school. And they've also been asking about Cantonese. So we are lucky enough to have staff on staff already, teachers who are even certified in it. So it's going to be an easy beginning for us.
Susan? Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Debbie, you done?
Yeah.
It says on Chinese 3.
No, that's a typo, so I corrected that. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I told you there were two typos. That's the second one. So Chinese 2 is the prerequisite for Chinese 3. Good catch.
Never mind.
Just a question of naivety.
Sure, please.
Is Cantonese easier than Mandarin? I
I wouldn't say so. I would say Mandarin is the quote-unquote more easier language to learn. Okay. It has four tones, whereas Cantonese has nine tones. So I think one of the biggest appeals is of this Cantonese course is that it's actually a language that is widely spoken in the Chinatowns across our country, including our local New York area. So when students visit these Chinese-speaking neighborhoods in our area, not only is the culinary tradition going to be a focus of the course, which our students hopefully will be able to experiment with and try, but at the same time, they'll be able to get to know the language that goes along with what we know as quote-unquote Chinese culture in the United States.
And how is our enrollment in Mandarin?
Oh, we're doing very well. So this year, in our Chinese 2 class, our very first group, we have 15 students. Next, and that will be moving on to Chinese 3. Next year, our ninth grade Chinese class will be at 30 students. So we are, depending on how enrollment goes, we may even have two classes of that.
Well, congratulations on that. That was
thank you.
Long in coming. Anyone else? Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you.
Too.
Thank you. And then we just have a couple of revisions I have to bring to your attention. We currently offer some courses through other universities. So, Ms. Lacatoud, if you want to come and speak to that, but it's just quick that we're going to be offering our college calculus through SUNY Farmingdale as opposed to Syracuse for a couple of reasons. The first one being it's easier to schedule because SUPA has very strict caps on classroom enrollment, and it's more expensive. And the SUNY credit may travel farther, and when we look at where most of our students are going, they are to the SUNYs or Ohio State or Hofstra, when we looked at the top five schools that our graduates go to. So it makes sense that they're getting a SUNY credit. Same with college statistics. You want to speak to that?
So we also wanted to consolidate all of our college courses through one partnership. So we had Syracuse University for our college calculus, and for our college statistics, we had a partnership with Adel. Well, we still do have a partnership with Adelphi University. So we also looked to sort of put these all together within one partnership. That was one of our goals. The other aspect that we considered is the training for the teachers. So if you think about Syracuse University, any teacher who will be teaching a Syracuse University Project Advanced course must attend a summer institute at Syracuse University. So there are many travel expenses, and it's not convenient for the teachers. They do it, but so part of it was the proximity as well for the training of the teachers. So again, for any course that they teach, any teacher who is new to that course and is not certified by Syracuse University must attend the summer institute. So that was another thing to keep in mind. In terms of pricing, Syracuse University is $112 per credit, and Farmingdale is $50 per credit. So we thought it would be a good savings. Yeah, cost savings.
So regarding the credits, is it optional still?
Yes.
Okay, because SUNY credits do not travel sometimes out of state.
Sure. It is optional, yes.
And then the last revision, you want to talk about getting SUNY Farmingdale credit for your website design class?
Right. So if you recall when we introduced this course with the very long title, we are looking to condense the title, Website Development. It had been called previously Front-End Web Development, A Coding Experience was the entire title, which didn't even fit on the page. So SUNY Farmingdale also offers this website development, which again, keeping all of our college-level courses in the same partnership, and we would simply call it website development and let the description speak for everything else in the course. Any questions?
Nope.
Those were some of our rationales for changing to Farmingdale.
Pretty good. Okay. Two other revisions related to credits that were being offered to courses. We have our AIS for Global History and English tucked into these courses that are up on the screen, the 9R plus a practicum, which is an every other day AIS support class. you're not permitted through New York State Commissioner's regulation to offer credit, any sort of credit, to AIS courses. Those are termed stretch courses where they take longer to go through, or students have more time in 1 year in this model of a period and a half, the half being every other day. So we're just reducing it to the one credit that it should be. In technology, it's a change of how often we offer the course for scheduling purposes and for the projects that the students need to complete. So it made sense in the first course, Modern Manufacturing, that they have the everyday experience while they work on their projects. It was too disruptive throughout the year, missing that day in between when they would gain momentum on projects. And computer repair, because of the amount of work that they're learning, it would be an everyday course all year long. And the world languages is just a title change, so it matches the trajectory that we have in the course catalog book from Chinese for English speakers 1 to Chinese 1, because the next one is Chinese 2 and Chinese 3, so just to have uniformity in the continuum of Chinese.
Any questions? I just have a general question.
Sure, go ahead.
How much courses cost.
Yep.
So where is it that we put that information in the course guide?
That's a very good question, because that just came up recently. We were in a meeting, Jim and I, and apparently the guidance counselors did put something together this year to give senior parents, like, this is how, and they give it in the junior conference, right, Jim? A list of all the upfront costs that parents will face going into senior year. Do you want to run through some of those, Jim, that you know of offhand? The list?
I'm sorry?
Some of the costs that are listed on that?
Yeah, I don't have
the application fees, the different colleges, and what their credits costs. If they're taking AP courses, what those exam courses are. So it gives parents a preview. Sure.
So when a parent and a child are making a decision to take these college courses, they know prior to signing up for them what.
Yes, yes, but we'll make it more readily available. I'll take a look on the guidance page, I'm sure, but we'll give it to you in the packet. Yeah.
It's in the curriculum guide as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. There's one page devoted to just the cost of all
right.
The...
Has a chart for each school.
Thank you.
I just want to thank everybody who worked on this, from our teachers to our chairs to everybody involved, because this is very exciting for us. We just love to hear new courses coming, and the fact that our kids are really up to date and our relationships with different colleges and universities is just stupendous. So we'd like to thank everybody for all the hard work they did, and everything here was fantastic. Thank you. And for that, you can have Thursday off.
And Friday.
And Friday? Oh, now you're giving them everything. All right, Friday too.
Here they can go.
Okay, now we have the middle school enrollment survey. Dr. Lewis.
Okay. So, thank you to the board. At the last meeting, you reduced us from 12 options to 3 options, and you also challenged us to provide a survey for the people who were most affected by the decisions or potential decision that would be made. So if we could move the slides along for us. Do we have?
Yep, we got.
He's on it.
Okay. So again, just a reminder scenario. One is where we do nothing, really. We just look at the numbers and perhaps provide the resources, like guidance counselors, social workers, but you do nothing to the buildings. Scenario 9 is introducing, looking at the building and creating some space out of areas that, just looking at the space to better use. But also included in that is identifying an area, a small area of homes that would be called the optional zone, that would have the option of going to the middle school. The elementary zones would not be affected. We're just going to the middle school if you're living in the optional zone. Then, and the streets are identified. And then the 11th option, which is the third option, would, again, similar to option 9, identify a larger optional zone, that more streets are identified, but again, restructuring some things in the middle school to allow for more space within POB Middle School, because the issue, again, is the space usage in POB Middle School. These are the streets that would be affected. Those are the streets living in the optional zone. And also, if we move to the next slide, again, just a reminder that if you're an existing family, for my definition, but that's not the board's, the existing families, those students would not be affected by the elementary zones. They would attend the elementary schools that they're currently zoned with. If they're new families, however, new families to the district, however we define them, for me, it would be if you haven't had a child in entering POB schools, then when your child enters POB middle schools, that's my definition, not the board's, they would enter, if they're living, they would enter in the new zone. For elementaries, it would be optional, but for the middle school, it would not be optional because that's really where our space issues are. That would be scenario 11 as presented. Now, what is the space that we're talking about? So we took a look at the space, and for this, I'm going to turn it over to Rich.
Okay. So since we started about a month ago, this idea was coming up about finding more space and reallocating space in POB Middle School. We've had a series of meetings, and last week our architect started meeting with us to try and formalize some things. But here is where we are right now in terms of ideas. This is the 100 level. The only classrooms that are used right now by students are in green, which are two technology rooms. This isn't drawn to scale. This is actually a very narrow prep room. But we're proposing breaking these two classrooms up into three classrooms. The building doesn't have a room 110 right now. Conveniently, we can number it 110. We'd have 109, 110, and 111. We would take out the prep room and gain space. This is a very large room here, so we have to kind of do some space planning, but this seems to be a very easy way to gain another classroom in the school. Also, at the 100 level, if you remember last year, we moved childcare, adult ed, and athletics over to Stratford Road. We have some uses right now for these other spaces. Basically, we're kind of just moving into them. We haven't really formalized that. So what we propose to do is relocate the faculty room from the second floor down to the first floor, renovate a space for that. The main office, and I'll get to that on the next slide, there's a very large copy center that's right in the middle, basically in the main office and the copy suite, the guidance suite. Move that large guidance, that large copier downstairs to a copy center, staff a copy center there. Install a smaller copier up in the main office for administrative uses. And also our directors and chairs have some space up on the second floor. Create space for directors and chairs as they're visiting here. So we wouldn't move students onto this side of the building. Our maintenance staff, buildings and ground staff, has workshops here. So really, we can't really move students into this section of the building, but we can find a better space for this and free up space on the next floor. Green is indicating full-size classrooms, and orange is indicating places that we use as small group instruction. Strangely, one of these spaces didn't come out in the right color. I just want to point out this right here. This room right here is our room 205 is currently Z space. We propose moving Z space into the library and revisioning the library into a library media center. All right, so it wouldn't just simply be moving Z space across the hall, but we would do a revisioning, and we started talking about that really in earnest last week. Some of our team went over to Massapequa, Bernard Junior High School. I call it Junior High School because that's what it was when I student taught there. Bernard, you went to the high school?
I went to the high school
To visit Massapequa High School, and their new library. I know we have another visitation set up for Long Beach Middle School. in December to get some ideas, and our architects are going to send people out to start doing some planning process there with the idea that we can have a revisioned library media center for September of the coming year. That would free up this classroom. The faculty room is currently in this room right here. We would move the faculty room downstairs, refurbish this classroom and also the fax room, family consumer science room right next to it, to improve this for instructional space and refurbish the fax room here, which is something we actually budgeted for this year. We have an assistant principal's office here. We would move that back into the main office. We would do some revisioning of the main office space. This would give us small group instruction space. I believe that is it on that floor. And then going to the third floor, we have an assistant principal's office here right now. We would move that back into the main office, so that would make it small group instructional space again. And we have two full-size classrooms here, indicated in orange, that are used for smaller group instruction. They would move into the other small group, the other administrative offices that we freed up in other parts of the building. We would use those as regular classrooms again. So in doing that, we would gain five large classrooms. Our small group instruction space would remain the same. Created a summary of what we're looking at so far, how we get to the five large classrooms, how we move things around and still keep the same level of small group instructional space the same, and the other ideas we talked about, revisioning the library into a library media center, doing work in the main office to move all the administrative and secretarial staff into there, and also in the guidance suite, using the rooms on the 100 level that were formerly child care and athletic offices for things that would support the operation of the school itself. And also, we do have a school store that opens. We are proposing moving the school store into the art gallery. We'll look at that a bit more, but it's in a good central location. It will draw people into there, and we have the space to do it. So we will provide more information on that.
But the art gallery itself would still remain.
Yes, it
does. There's an inner part of the gallery that would be utilized.
That's my question.
Okay, so we would still have a place for hanging the student work, but inside the box we would have to empty that out and make that the school score.
Go ahead. If you have a question on this slide.
Go ahead.
Rooms 104 and 106 down on level one. Even though those are not going to be student classrooms, the rooms across the hallway are sort of used as a loading dock, correct? Deliveries come in there?
The loading dock is actually right outside the technology where the knock is. All right. This we have where our maintenance crews will be working out of. And we also still have offices here. This is an active office right now that has three people.
But across the hallway, somewhere in that hallway, there are visitors coming in, correct? Whether it's deliveries or whatever?
The deliveries are met over here.
So there's no need for additional security or?
No. And here, somebody can't just pull the door open. They do have to be entered into the building, our head custodians, our offices down here.
Okay.
And then in addition, in order to get upstairs, there's another locked door. So people who are down in this hallway cannot get upstairs.
Similar to Matlin.
Okay.
Seth?
So the APs would lose an office.
Is your mic on?
It is. The APs would lose, right, two offices, and they would be relocated where?
Into the main office.
Back into the main office.
And right now there are four guidance counselors, one for each grade. Is that right?
Yes.
If we choose to add additional guidance of some because of the increased enrollment,
right.
Is there enough space to add guidance and the two APs?
As it's presently set up,
No.
The main office guidance suite would not work.
That has to be repurposed. Yes.
Right. We had BBS come in to look at that whole area, to reconfigure that entire area. It would mean that's why we're taking the copier, the huge copier. That would create space right there. We have to re-envision the space. The space was created in a time when other uses were there. We have to recreate that.
And it's been recreated in the past. One thing we found is that the area right where you walk into the main office, that's glass, that used to be part of the lobby. That was already taken in the past. If you notice, that is a terrazzo floor, and if you look at the as-built, was all part of the lobby when the building was first opened.
The other question I had was if you go to the technology wing,
mm-hmm.
I know it's not to scale,
right.
But right now there are two classrooms, right?
Correct.
109 and 111, and there's like a small
prep room, right? It's right here.
Part of 109, which is a big room,
mm-hmm.
doesn't have windows.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm.
If we make three out of it, how does the 109, does it?
Okay, so that's a good question.
I mean, because I know that there's...
That was, we were standing in this classroom in Friday. When a classroom has an exterior wall, 50% of the wall has to be windows. All right, so that room, that does have a limiting aspect. However, they measured it out, and if we move this prep room, the prep room wall will move down here to another pillar.
Staff.
That's pretty much directly across from the door that's coming into it right now. And it will meet all code compliance. It'll be fine.
Okay, good. And in terms of the total cost to repurpose,
we don't know.
To re-envision, is there a way to start figuring out what that cost is?
Yes. Well, that's part of the, we have to kind of mesh this out and get some floor plans in order to put a cost to it. But in all of this, it's important to know we are visiting other schools. Some of the schools did this as part of capital reserve and bond work.
Okay.
We're not doing that.
Right.
If we were to do that, we have to send it up to SED, get SED approval, and that's 2 years out, and we want this for September. As we go through this, we have to keep that in mind, that we have to be able to do this quickly during the 10 months of summer, and so the budget is going to be limited because of that. So we don't have a cost yet, but we can't throw $3 million at this and expect to be ready to go in September.
So there are priorities that we have to work on. So, for example, the Z Space room that is currently configured, we need that room for fifth grade for next year. We need 10 sections of fifth grade. We already know that. So the priority would be to move that. We would have to move that. So our priority would be to reconfigure the library space first, and to move that in. We already know that we have to move our special class, our fifth grade special class, over to Matlin, so that frees up another room, because the current sixth grade class was moved over. So that would free up another small space. So we have, I believe, the beginnings of being able to handle what we need for next year.
So if you go to the third floor,
yes,
the 324, 326, they're regular sized classrooms that mm-hmm. now currently provide instruction
Correct, but you have 10 sections of 7th. Next year as well. So you're going to need that upstairs. We need 10 classrooms upstairs.
I don't disagree. It's part of why we're having this whole conversation, right?
Right.
So, but if the APs, I mean, some of the work is a little bit easier, more cost-effective.
Right. Absolutely.
Right? I mean, so those rooms are rooms. You don't really have to repurpose mm-hmm. them, but you do need to make sure, depending on how small or large a small group instruction group is, mm-hmm. whether the AP offices are an okay size for it, right?
Well, this is, you know...
Depending on how many students are in that group, right?
I mean, you're getting to the heart of the matter. The hardest thing in this plan is the administrative space. The administrative space has worked for a long time. So we think we'll end up with a floor plan where we keep the existing cinder block walls and look to reformat the front end of this office and do some work back here to improve the guidance area because we do have to think about the number of students we have and the support staff that we have for them. So we'll get on that, and I think by mid-December you'll start seeing floor plans for us to consider, and then we can start putting a price point on it.
I think what's very important is that we really have to know what mm-hmm. we're talking in terms
yeah,
of dollars,
absolutely.
Because it seems that, option one or option not, whatever it is, people like and want to stay in their building, mm-hmm. and we have to make sure that whatever we do, we provide the best learning possible, and we just have to know, because we're going into budget and everything else, there's a cap out there, there's everything else, and a lot of other things are happening. It helps us to decide and make decisions also. So even if we get guesstimates so that we know we're talking about X number of dollars.
We're deep into budget season now. We're working right. on our end, and you'll get good estimates on this one.
Okay, on this side, Susan?
I have two questions. One, will people like myself who are not as familiar with the building be able to tour the building?
I've asked requests of that already.
Okay. And the other, Dr. Lewis, you alluded to there's a set of priorities. So if we had like an A, B, and C list, is that something right. you could share? Because you
well,
said
we
already
need it all. We need it all. But just in terms of what do you begin with first, the priority is to have 10 sections of fifth grade and 10 sections of seventh grade. How's those?
But
that's our priority.
Right. You're saying 10. So, we're getting five rooms, five large instructional rooms, according to this proposal.
Right.
So how could you, I guess, for me, I need more of a visual flow chart. What does that actually mean? Like, we already have 9 classrooms for fifth grade, or we have
correct.
8?
We have 9.
So
we
one
have
would
nine.
Go to that. Could you, is there a way to put that onto
it's
paper?
On here.
Well,
it's
no.
Right here.
I think what you're looking for is our projected classroom utilization by grade for next year.
Yes.
Okay.
That sounds good. Thank you.
We'll get that.
Thank you.
No,
yeah.
No.
No?
No.
No, we won't.
Please go back to the graph.
Which one?
We have it.
Which number?
Go back up to the second floor.
Second floor?
Yes. Second floor. Correct. Okay.
All right.
When you look at the second floor, the fifth grade wing, if you could... Do you have the pointer that we could show?
Well, where's the fifth grade wing on this?
That's what I want you to show, the pointer. Do you have the pointer?
Got the cursor going.
Okay. All right. Would you please show Z space as it is right now? It is in blue. That will become a fifth grade classroom.
So that
that's
solves
the end of the hall.
So that solves that.
That solves
right.
fifth grade.
That's what they did last year
right.
when the fifth grade.
But we need to put Z space someplace. So Z's place will move into the library
right.
if you show that. That's what we just said. That so that becomes a priority. We need that. When we go upstairs, we need another section because we currently are housing 9 sections of 7.
Well, can I go back to a second on the second floor? You have another blue.
And 10 sections of 6th who are moving upstairs next year.
You have another
right.
another blue classroom 206 on the other side of the library. Is that a different grade? That character?
No, 206 is a very small space that will be expanded into the library to become part of
no, no,
the.
No, 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 no.
206 is not near the library.
206 is currently the faculty room.
Oh, I'm sorry. 206, where's show the faculty room, please.
It's right here.
Right.
I'm there.
Okay. That's currently the faculty room, which will be moved downstairs to – that will then give us another instructional space.
So is that part of the sixth grade corridor?
No, it is not.
What is
it
that
is part of?
It is part of
seventh grade. Seventh grade takes electives, and they need more room for their health, technology, and
so
family and consumers. That will be a family and consumer science room.
Okay.
Right next door to the other. Right.
Yeah, well, I don't
so
know
that
204 is right is a fax room or not.
Yeah. All right.
Correct. But what I'm saying is that's the plan. So it's that we're not generating another plan. That is the plan. We would want to walk you through the building
right.
so you could see it. But there is no other plan that we can develop. This is it.
First, I really want to thank you because you could see that this is a really well thought out plan. The fact that we're not just taking Z space and moving it downstairs, which was originally discussed.
Right.
It's a long-term plan, which I really appreciate. So along with the estimated cost for repurposing, can we also begin to develop, I guess maybe this would be through the budget cycle, a plan for what resources we would be adding, so, you know, what it would look like, and what the costs associated would be. And I'm not only talking about more guidance or more psychologists, but we really need to look at our teams and our clubs just to make sure that the Absolutely. Students in POB have the same opportunity and access.
That is absolutely true. But if anybody thinks that we would not, I mean, you're going to have a bigger school, and you're not going to have another team. You're not. Your teams are going to be more selective because your school is a larger school. If you decide not to do the rezoning, if that's the reality, if that's a decision-making, we can't make another team out of varsity and junior, you know,
so
when you
know that we can't make another team.
I know from Section 8 rules. You have one school, you have one team. You might be able to do, what do we call
like
them?
Two junior
clubs.
Varsity,
clubs you could do.
Yeah. Right, right.
But when it comes to a team, Section 8 has a team from
right.
a school. So I don't want to raise anybody's hopes without trying to alleviate the size of the school. You have a bigger school, and it will be more competitive when it comes to sports. When it comes to clubs, or any other resources, we do it by a per pupil, and so we would allocate a different resource. So it may be that you may get one additional club, or you know, just as we do with a high school. But a team is based on Section 8 rules, and so we can't make that up. So if we don't ever try to do the balance, you've seen the projections. And by the way, we do have the projections. The new demographers have given us projections, and they will be here at the next board meeting to share that with the public. The board has already seen it. We are looking at an even larger population than we had projected, and a greater differential delta between the two schools. That's the reality. That's our latest numbers. We're looking at larger numbers.
Okay, but we can, to the extent possible, maybe not with varsity teams, but
to
the extent possible, you will give us some kind of plan as to how what we're going to reallocate, additional resources that are going to be put into POB Middle School.
Right. We're going to have to do that. No matter what, right. you know, we will have to do that for, you know, the areas of guidance counselors mm-hmm. and PPS functions. Okay. But I don't want anybody thinking that if we don't do anything, we could provide the same opportunities in terms of musical groups or, you know,
but sometimes
all the other
outside
things.
Of the box thinking, there are sometimes ways.
Okay.
If it's Section 8,
so we'll make a section
we're not in control of that. But
right.
certain things we might be in control of thinking in a different way. Is all I'm saying.
You know, okay. This is very similar when we closed the high school and we merged the high school. And all the conversations came about teams and sports and what's going to happen because you had two high schools, you had two football, you had two of everything. And guess what? It just, that's what it becomes. It becomes that. But if we're listening to what the community wants and what the community is looking for in their buildings and stuff, this is one of the things that will be understood. And it does get a little bit more competitive. But there's only so much we can do. But clubs...
Things that are in our control.
You have to look at band also. There's going to come a point where the fifth and sixth grade is going to get so big in the seventh that you might have to have a fifth grade band, a sixth grade band, a seventh grade band, an eighth grade band if you're going to make sure, I mean, sooner or later, you're going to run out of room for all those kids in the band room. And you might not be able to do two grades at once. What are you going to do, tell the kid they can't play an instrument?
I think that we should be able to accommodate that. Yeah. We should be. I mean, it was a high school, so I mean, the size of the band should be okay.
It was a big high school.
But we'll look at it. We'll look at it.
Renell?
I think, first of all, thank you, Rich, and anyone else who worked on this. What pleases me at this moment is that all the work that went into this really addresses what the community wants rather than what the board thinks it would have done. So to me, the fact that people actually gave responses and we are addressing those responses means everything that, you know, they will understand that all this time and effort was worth it.
Right. So what you're talking about, Renell, is the survey, the responses to the survey.
Yeah.
So if we could go into that.
Absolutely.
Can I just point one other thing out?
Yes.
The,
go to the next.
Elementary cohort.
Could you go to the next slide, please?
Yeah,
thank you.
I'm sorry.
Hold it.
Do you want to show this?
That's what she wants to talk about.
I just wanted to comment that it was a little startling.
Go back to that slide, please.
Right there. It was a little startling to me.
Yes.
That Pasadena and Stratford Road almost have the same numbers, mm-hmm. and Stratford Road is a much bigger school.
Mm-hmm.
So, down the road, we might have to be thinking
but
about that as
well. What is in mathematics? We look at these graphs and we look at the slope of the lines. And if you look at the cohort, this graph speaks to the same kids going from first grade to fourth grade, and we look. How many kids did we pick up along the way? So these same kids, the cohort of class of 2027, in JJP, not too much of a change. In Old Beth Page, not too much of a change. Pasadena, big change. Stratford Road, change. So if you look...
That's okay.
Yeah. But of the others, of course, they have the room, yes. And I didn't add the special education in that as well. So if you look at, these are the two schools that are flowing into POB Middle School.
Which is why we have the situation that we have. We understand
right.
that.
So, but I want you to see the growth, because if I did this for Matlin and POB Middle School, you would see the same trend lines as Pasadena. It's not just that these schools are flowing in. It's also that the area, the growth of the area is much steeper than the other.
Right.
And so we are looking at enrollments of over 900 over the next 5 years. I mean, the enrollment for POB Middle School will be at 900 by certain years.
Okay.
Now, we did, saying all of that, we did send out a survey to our, so if we could go to the survey, to all of our third and fourth grade parents who live in the optional zone. So these were the third and fourth grade of Pasadena. So because the question is, why didn't we send it to everybody? And the reason is that we wanted to see for the third and fourth grade parents who are directly affected next year, who would even consider taking that option? Now, you recall scenarios 9 and 11 says if you're new to the area, you would move. So that would begin the leveling of the two schools. If we went with that option. But let's see what the survey says. Survey says.
Well, we had 118 recipients, 70 responded, and here were the responses. So of those 70, 25 had students in POB Middle School, 28 had third graders, and 44, the largest group, had fourth graders. 64 said they would not send their current fourth grader on to Matlin if given the opportunity.
And would they move their current middle schooler? So up top, you see, that would be the 25. They said no. So that number, I guess they were answering for both. And in which favor did they favor the most? You see number 9 received the greatest, but there's not so much disparity among the three choices. But 29 received the most. Here's the graphic.
So at most, we're looking at 13 kids moving. Not really enough to make
at this time. And
when they were asked, not enough to make any difference at all.
Except if you added in your new to the school.
They didn't get the, those are the out.
And remember, we had 40 new students this year at PLB Middle School.
So this only went out to the current. So if a new family moved in.
So if a new family moved into the, okay.
They didn't take this survey.
No, but
there were current Pasadena parents.
The trend line is, you know, you have a large number of new entrants.
New entrants, okay.
So it may be, depending on the costs and the resources, that perhaps just simply repurposing and re-envisioning may address the issue. It may be that it doesn't. We'll have to look at what the cost is. We'll see if everything plays out, the floor plans. A positive is that everyone's happy. A positive thing, right? Everyone is happy with their schools, which is a nice thing.
The next slide, just slowly.
If we're looking for, I mean, I understand that next year is a difficult year.
Leave it.
And we did third and fourth grades. I think if we're looking for a longer term solution, that perhaps we should have and perhaps we can still survey K-1 and 2, it may give us the same result. I understand the concern is for next year and the year after, but I believe seeing what the parents of the younger students have to say or what they think, again, it would be nicer if more people responded to the survey.
Right. I mean, the third and fourth grade who had 100
Right. 40 some odd people didn't respond.
Didn't respond.
Right? So
I'm guessing the response is no.
I would.
You know, I don't know.
I
mean, we get 100 emails every day, so.
But I would think.
You know, you never know. But whatever. I think, you know, if we're going to explore not just the short-term but long-term solution, perhaps there is an interest of a K-1 and 2 parent that they shift their child. And perhaps maybe they would shift their child either for middle school or even earlier. And I'm not sure if the board wants to entertain that. But if we're looking for, if we're still exploring and looking for options, then maybe that survey should go out there. It could be the same result. And we just say, hey.
Then at least we know.
But at least we've explored and we've done our due diligence to explore not just short-term but long-term options. Again, it may be that people are willing to move, but once we get the cost and the floor plans, that we don't need to do anything. I just don't, you know, I don't want to have this conversation another year or two from now. You know, if there's more information that is available that we could try to get, and the keyword is try, I think we should try to do that.
So let's just finish the survey, and then I'll take
That's
the direction
fine.
From the board.
Yep.
So that was the third question was, if given the option, would you move? And clearly, those responding, no, they wouldn't take advantage of it. If you are currently, would you consider sending your child, if you're currently attending PLB Middle School, would you consider sending your child to Matlin next year?
We'll see when the report card comes out. That's what I
thought.
Oh,
I see. I don't know what that is, but anyway. All right, but clearly, no is the majority. And then the last question was, which scenario would you most favor? So I don't understand that answer, to tell you the truth. Scenario 11 has more. But I don't think it's statistical. Scenario 9 has more, but scenario 9 is the one that people, as we went around, said it's a limited number of streets and that open up the optional zone. So I'm not sure what that is. But okay, so that's our survey. Thanks, Mary. So the direction of the board is?
Go ahead. I think what Seth proposes is a really good idea. Let's just see, because if we are talking, we did say long-term, what's going to happen? And, you know, we're going to be expending a lot of money eventually to make this work.
So that means we send to...
Yes, to send out. Is everybody okay with sending out, Deb?
I got it.
Just have a question. Those that we sent out this time in the third and fourth grade were to the narrower optionals?
No.
The expanded zone.
Okay.
The whole optional zone. There were 102 families. Mm-hmm. And 70 people responded. So that 6% could be.
6% responded to the survey.
118
and 70.
Was it 102 families or 102 emails?
118 received and 70 responded. 118
received it and 70 responded.
So that's 60% of
the question is.
That's not bad.
Do you want one of the questions to ask if they'd want their children? Because I thought we said we were going to keep the kids in their home schools. Only because I think that gets everybody thinking that we don't know what we're going to do and driving everybody crazy again. Well, I think we should focus in on the middle school. What are we doing for September to accommodate the children and making sure it works?
Well, September is the fourth grade.
Yeah, but with Seth's question, you've got kids coming up. Would any of those parents opt to send their kids to Matlin, which would tell us also the growth factor?
Right. I mean, look, it seems from the information that we currently have, look at the cost, look at the floor plans, that might address our concerns. It might.
If we can afford it.
If we can afford it, if we have that discussion, if we prioritize it as part of our budget, I mean, that's something that, you know,
the community we make has decisions, to support.
Right. We make decisions that prioritize it. And if that's something that's important, then we could do that. And maybe it addresses it. Maybe there's no reason to even explore the optional zone at that point. But maybe we look at the cost, we look at what we could do, and we see, hey, you know what? The third and fourth graders, they don't want to move their students, but maybe there's a difference. Look, my gut feeling is that you're probably going to get the same kind of response. But if we're going through this exercise of getting all the information, let's get all the information.
So we will send it to K1 and 2.
And I would just hope if any of you have friends who didn't answer or respond, they're only hurting themselves because we need that information to be able to make a decision. And when you look at the amount of people, it's like, don't complain about who's got elected if you don't bother to vote. So please, we need the information coming to us.
We're only sending it to K1 and
right.
2.
Yes.
So but there might be a subset of parents who already got the survey.
Because they have children.
And that's okay. And those parents could answer again.
Yes. Correct.
But at least I just want people to answer.
Very fine.
We have as much information in terms
we will
of
do
the actual zone that we get.
Good direction.
Okay. Any other? Yes. Jody?
Am I on?
Yes.
At the last meeting, Susan had mentioned the blocks on the other side of Central Park Road. So right now, one of the optional zones is on one side of Central Park Road, with Central Park Road not included, but all those blocks behind there, Stephen and Mitchell and Knowles and Victor. If we needed to, from a busing perspective, probably wouldn't be such a big deal. Maybe go a few blocks onto the other side of Central Park Road by like Midwood, Cherry. If we needed to get another 15 or so kids to move over, would anybody be interested in maybe just expanding the optional zone a few more blocks? No?
I mean, I think it's...
We'll give all the 15 parents. I think it's a natural...
Progression?
Yeah, it's a natural part of the conversation that's right there.
It's right there. From a busing perspective, it wouldn't be...
It was part at one point in time. That school, the elementary school.
They go to Pasadena. Mm-hmm.
Right, because if you're saying that the demographic survey is going to show that the enrollment numbers are actually going up more than we thought, I mean, sooner or later, we're going to be out of room. And then what? You know, building a wing takes years.
I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. The reason we made the cut was that we also have to be mindful of JJP's enrollment. And if you don't want to swing it to the point where you then have...
Because the new families will be going to...
Correct.
Okay.
So we were just mindful of not overdoing.
Okay. Why don't we see what we get with this first? Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, I'm going to bring up a really bad thing. The new assessments are going to be coming. and people are going to be hit within 2 years with taxes that are going to be unbelievable, and people may be selling homes. So, you know, we're talking a lot about people moving in. People are really getting spooked right now because nobody knows what's going on. So I just think, why don't we stick with what we have, see the response we get, and at the next meeting we'll feedback, and maybe we can get some kind of cost ideas so that we know what we're talking about. And we have to remember, it was a high school. Maybe BBS is going to look in whatever different sets of eyes we have also.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay?
Fair enough.
Okay. That's it with the reports, right?
Mm-hmm. I think that's
okay.
It.
Okay, now we're going to public participation. District policy number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall, one, state their name and address, and two, indicate on whose behalf they're speaking if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which the reputation, privacy, or rights to due process or those of others could be in some way violated. As a reminder, an audio recording of this meeting, including public participation, is being made and will be posted on the district's website. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, the floor is open. Hi.
Hi. Gail Zwieback, 65 Mitchell Avenue. I just had a few questions that came about as I was listening to the conversation. Are the results of the survey accurate if only about 60% of the recipients even answered it? Do we know that they were all received? You know, sometimes we get so much email throughout the day, we don't know if they were, and if you're not on social media.
I know that they may have, they certainly were sent into the mailbox, but people might not have.
Right, I mean, 59 point something percent of the people responded, which to me isn't.
Actually, in survey world, it's pretty good. Okay. But given how passionate people were about it, I'm with you.
Right.
If you have some ideas, you could share it.
I don't know.
Okay.
Just strong thoughts out there. For scenario 9, I just want to be clear that existing families will not be impacted because it doesn't mention existing families on the slide like it does for scenario 11. On the fourth slide, it says, it has a whole thing about what would happen with the existing families, but scenario 9, it's not mentioned at all, which may have skewed why people chose one over the other. And also, would exist scenario 9 include just the original 13 streets, or is that the
That's the difference between scenario 9 and scenario 11. Scenario 9 speaks to a smaller, smaller optional zone.
Scenario 9, on the handouts that we got and the ones that were on the website or on the you know, the Board of Ed page, don't mention anything about the existing families. So if that's not written in print, people may not have realized, hey, that does affect me or does not affect me. If you look at slide 4 of scenario 11, it is very clear what would happen with existing families or new families potentially, where on scenario 9, there's just one slide and it doesn't mention existing families.
It's the new families, correct?
It just mentions new families. So people who are existing families may have said, hey, wait, we're not even on here. I'm not in favor of this because it's not laid out clearly. Just a thought. And after speaking to one person who did mention that to me. And on the last question that came up, we're talking about resending it to families who have younger children. If they already responded that they have a middle school child because they have maybe a third and a fourth and a middle school, are the results going to be accurate if they already responded once and now they're responding again because they have children of multiple ages?
Well, they'll be responding as K-1-2 parents.
Right, but they also, on that survey, was something said that they also have a middle school student.
So they would say that again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Some of the surveys won't let you respond twice from the same IP address.
Like, no, but what?
It would be a totally new link.
Survey. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Please come up.
Yeah.
Hi.
It asked the address. Hi, my name is Diane Pudell. I live at 5 Abbey Lane in Plainview. I have a few issues with this from a teacher standpoint, a mathematician standpoint, and a parent standpoint. So my first thing is that this was actually not statistically valid. There is a too small of a sample size, number one. 59% is not significant. For significance, you need 95%. A 5% alpha is what proves statistically significant.
Yeah. Oh, no.
There's flaws in the questioning. You asked which parents of current middle school students would consider moving. I have a 7th grader. There's no way I'd want to move him in his last year at the middle school. So asking me that question is very vastly different from asking somebody who has a 5th or a 6th grader. So I think that there needs to be clarity in the questions, the way questions are worded, how they're conveyed. There needs to be like a subsidiary question, not just separate questions, but like an if you have a 7th grader, what would you do? If you have a 5th grader, what would you want to do with your elementary kid? Like I think you need to level the questions and they need to be a little bit clearer. As far as the different scenarios, I think that number 9 led me to believe that there was that little leeway because, as Gail said, it really didn't state the existing families. It stated the new families would be kept. 11 made a distinction for existing and new. So, you know, as somebody reading it, I didn't feel that maybe it was what we were discussing all along. And I felt like if I'm feeling that way and I've been to every meeting, who knows what somebody else is thinking. So I just think we have to watch the wording. We have to watch, you know, that the thoughts that everybody's having who's here at every meeting is conveyed to people who aren't. You want to get more people to answer. You want this to be valid. You don't want the response bias. You don't want people not answering. We don't know if they received it or not. So that's something to definitely consider. It's hard to monitor, but it could easily get lost in an influx of, you know, the 29 million emails you get. And especially at this time of the year, you get a lot. So just maybe to publicize it a little more, make out an announcement, you know, let it be known that the school is sending out this survey for people to answer. It came off on like Facebook, it came off just a little bit, but it really, it flew under the radar, you know, and it was us putting it out there on PTA websites and the Facebook and the rezoning, but it was more us doing it. Like, I think the school should be putting it forth from their standpoint. And I think that's it. I think I'm
done.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jana Ostroff, 89 Morton Boulevard. I'm a resident of Plainview, a mother of kids in the district, and I'm also a concerned educator. I'm an administrator in a nearby district. I hear my neighbors and my friends express that they do not want their children bused to another school or rezoned to Matlin, but none of the remaining proposals address the anticipated overcrowding, and that's of great concern to me. Despite years of committees devoted to creating equity between the schools, we are still here talking about why Matlin still has more resources per student than POB. My biggest concern in all of this is that all of the proposed plans propose things where inequity is still an issue, and it hasn't been sufficiently addressed in this community and among this board and among this administration. It will only be exacerbated by the large differences that are anticipated in the population between the two schools. Those of us in the optional school zone, which I am in, are being given a really loaded choice to leave our elementary communities and middle school communities to bus our kids to a school to what we all know has more resources per capita, per student. If the Board of Education and the administration doesn't rezone, well then, I mean, we could... So how about I finish and then I can clarify? If the Board of Education Administration doesn't rezone adequate numbers of students, I'm here on behalf of the parents to charge you with making everything equitable. So if it's not going to happen, let's just make sure that every single thing in our district is equitable. I don't mean equal. I mean equitable. I would like to be reassured that you have considered everything from lunch lines, current building administrators, the amount of time people have to devote to instructional matters, professional development. We're talking subs for people to go to professional developments. We're talking about making sure that if there's more teachers in one school, we have all more perm subs there too. We have to have a realistic vision of what that means. So right now our fifth, sixth grade band has about 100 kids, 110 kids. Next year we'll have 120, the year after 130, the year after that 140. Has the board budgeted for all of these things? I want to be reassured that not just core classes are on a par, but we're talking about our PE classes. We're talking about aides. We're talking about monitors. We're talking about all the things, the nuts and bolts that make a community work, that if stressed, by a large number of students could really result in people being stressed and unhappy environments for our students. So I would like the board to consider. So I served as the lone parent representative from POB Middle School on the music committee because I thought I couldn't complain about something if I'm not there and working hard to try to resolve it. And I propose that there be a construction project or a capital project included in the five-year plan, and it wasn't. But I want to sit here. Oh, well, I'm out of time. I don't know if I'm permitted to continue. Okay, I want to propose maybe that we consider a capital project so that that can be equitable and that we can have more equitable spaces for our music students to practice in. I would like to also make informed decisions. I want a fifth and sixth grade lab, a science lab. I know that that's present in Matlin. I heard kids in the back of my car in a carpool saying, hey, I go to science lab, and they're so excited about it. It's a place where you can store materials, have resources, do experiments. It's important to me. If I'm going to make an informed decision as a parent, I want to know what the per capita expenditure is on administration, on subs, on after-school activities, on sports.
Getting all that, because as we go into our budget development and as we go into the cost of what we are doing, that's what the board's been asking for.
Okay, so the per capita spending per building?
Well, there's an amount per child that we spend. And what you'll see is, you know, when we talk about, especially at budget time, we take our two middle schools, we take all of our schools. But all these conversations, before any decision is made, is going to be on the floor.
Okay, because I do, that's the most important thing in terms of if you really want to get a good sense is per capita spending, right, per student spending, and you get a sense of where those kind of overarching things are going to be used. And it's something, I don't know if you might have access to it, but I as a community member don't, so I don't see. So I may have misconceptions about equity, and maybe they're not real, but maybe they are.
Okay, fine, okay, thank you. We appreciate it. Anyone else? Public participation is now over. Thank you for your participation. On routine business, do I have a motion? Rennell, second. Debbie, any hold separations? All in favor of routine business? So moved. We have several items of new business. May I have a motion, please, on the district plan for services for special education? Susan, second. Rennell, any discussion?
Are there any significant changes to our plan other than the legal things that?
No, there weren't.
Okay.
All in favor? So moved. May I have a motion, please, to appoint Jacques Wolfner as the BOCES budget representative?
He said he couldn't
be
here
today. Debbie, second. Susan. I'm sorry, I'm looking over here. That's okay. Any comments?
Ben
hold?
And Susan.
Well, one of the girls. All in favor?
I will reserve my second comment.
May I please have a resolution to destroy the unused ballots from the May 15, 2018 annual budget vote? Seth? Second. Jody? Any discussion? All in favor? So moved. May I have a motion, please, for the Board of Education for approval of two non-local high school trips to Brooklyn, New York? Debbie? Second. Jody? Any discussion? All in favor? So moved. May I have a motion, please, to amend and adopt the sexual harassment policy regulation and exhibit? Susan? Second. Rennell? Any discussion? All in favor?
No. I had a
discussion.
Go ahead. It's a question. So, you know, we have the exhibit where it's the we have the exhibit where there's a questionnaire for this. This is for both staff and student. I was hoping there was a way to have this accessible to students more than just being in our in board docs.
Yeah.
If it could
on the
be,
website.
Can we put it on the website?
It has to be on the website.
Yeah.
It's part of the requirement. Yeah.
Okay.
All in favor? So moved. May have the motion to amend policy number 7321, opioid overdose prevention. Rennell, second. Susan, any discussion? Susan.
Question. I know this reads that it's for school hours, but unfortunately, opioid abuse does not happen within the hours of the school day. It happens any time of the day. How do we get, if we're a coach or another layperson, how do we get the Narcan to somebody who's in need of it before EMS can get there?
The policy as it was written was, and originally approved, was for during the school hours by trained personnel. You don't always have trained personnel here, so access, which is the question that you have, is a matter of who's trained at the time to administer that. And what we changed in this policy was not, wasn't that section, but rather the nasal spray portion of the Narcan piece. So that part is the original piece that was approved by the board a year and a half ago, and we addressed it to add the nasal spray portion of it to it. But your access piece is for trained personnel, and most of our trained personnel are during the day.
Well, I was just curious, aren't coaches allowed? Well, I thought, Elsa, right now, lay people, anyone can administer Narcan
yeah.
in New York? So mm-hmm. so if it's, any person can do Narcan, do we need to use the words trained? And shouldn't it be accessed so that another student could provide the Narcan? Because if I'm understanding the new current rules of Nassau County, New York State, you don't have to be trained like an AED or a CPR. Anyone can provide it if it's accessible to them.
And they're trained.
No one.
I can't do it. I wasn't trained.
You don't have to be trained anymore.
No.
I don't.
Yes,
think
you
so.
Do. There's Narcan training, and then you get the kit.
You
have to attend a training and then get a kit.
I think that there's new. I mean, I was watching 60 Minutes, and that's why it made me think of it last night. I don't know if you have to be trained.
I thought you had to be trained. You cannot get the kit without going to the training.
No, you might not, but I think you can use somebody else's kit. Like
but if you don't.
Can I just make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Since
we'll look into
this
it.
Policy
can be amended,
why don't we look into that piece? But in the meantime, why don't we approve the
piece.
One piece that we're amending it for now?
Okay. Yeah, can I just want to add, when we put this policy together, our intention was to ensure, well, first that we had this policy, and second to expand it to the nasal, third, but also we added the permitting other trained personnel to administer it, and we had a discussion at least at the time that we put this together that there was a requirement that there be a training.
Right.
It may not be a full day training, but there's some kind of
a very quick training.
Right, it could be a quick training, but there was some kind of training. And part of that is that we don't want anybody that isn't trained to take
our
purchased provided kit and use it. Now, if the rules have changed, we can certainly the policy committee, we can certainly explore how to best do it. But the statement of permitting trained personnel to do it, I still, again, policy is the global. It's not the specific nitty gritty. But if there's something that has to be done to amend it, we could
we'll
explore
it.
But we don't have this policy
this
in place right
this
now.
This subject has been becoming such a
of course.
Global thing. It's changing and evolving so quickly.
Okay.
So why don't we explore
the motion,
that?
Okay. All in favor? So moved. May I please have a motion to go into executive session for reason of real estate? Seth, second, Jody. For everyone who stayed, have a wonderful and happy Thanksgiving.
Wait, don't you want to take a vote?